Today we join many others in prayers for the President and First Lady. And of course we pray for all of those who are sick from the COVID, but he is the leader of the most powerful country in the world. And I saw the President's two-minute address from Walter Reed last night, and he again mentioned therapeutics, something many of us continue to pray for, effective treatments. And I also, on Friday, saw a doctor talking about him. And one of the things the doctor mentioned was how good the President's attitude was. Attitude, you know, where you keep your mind is very important, and especially when you are ill. I'm going to be teaching in just a little while this morning about fear. But, you know, a big part of a healthy attitude is gratitude. And I may teach on that sometime in the near future. I was actually thinking about it earlier last week. But, you know, God and His Word tells us in so many places to be thankful. And, I mean, when you think about it, first of all, we do have lots to be grateful for. And God certainly deserves our thanks. And secondly, God knows how being thankful and grateful affects us mentally and physically. Research shows that negative, pessimistic, complaining people are basically miserable. Grateful people are positive and happy. And you know, there are a number of scientific articles that you could read about the effects of gratitude, and God knows this. He designed us. No wonder He says to be thankful. Because gratitude has a very positive effect on your emotions and your physical health. Consistent gratitude can improve your immune system, reduce stress and anxiety, increase those feel-good hormones, and even, they say, rewire your brain. So in these unprecedented days that we are living in, take some time to stop and thank God for His many blessings on your life. And even if you're going through a very difficult time, thank Him for what He's already done for you. And meanwhile, we stay the course in prayer, right? This morning, I'm going to share a little bit from God's Word about fear. And I think it will not only be inspiring, but I think it will help you tremendously in overcoming fear. But before we get to that this morning, let's have some time for prayer. Wonderful. Well, today is Sunday, October the 4th, 2020. And if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 34. I'm reading Dave Berge's new book entitled 100 Scriptures to Help You Regain Your Health. And after reading some of the advanced copy that he sent to me, I ordered it. Actually, I ordered several copies. Given away, I think, four of them. There's a link on my blog if you're interested. But he pointed out something in the very first chapter about fear, and it really caught my attention. I had not fully considered that before, and I'm going to share that with you this morning in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a brief look at what God shows us in His Word about fear. In Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This statement kind of negates some popular philosophy in our day that we need to live with our fears. You know, if it's true that we should learn to accept and just live with our fears, then why would God need to deliver us from all our fears, it says? All of them, not some of them, all of them. In reading that verse then, what is the will of God concerning our fears? That would be that we would be delivered from those fears. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29, and in verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. A snare is a trap. You know, some people that do trapping, they use snares. A lot of times they're wire snares. Having fear doesn't help us. It hinders us. You might remember the phrase, fear is sand in the machinery of life. Fear entraps us. Fear is a snare. We're going to look at the record later, but in Mark 5, you, I'm sure, have heard or remember the record of Jairus, who came to Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. And he asked Jesus to come and lay his hands on her that she could be healed. And in fact, he said, you know, put your hands on her, come heal her, and she shall live. And then, of course, Jesus went with him. And on the way to the house, somebody came and said, well, too late, your daughter's dead. And as soon as Jesus heard those words, he said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. So you see, we're not talking this morning about being in a field and seeing a bull coming your way and just saying, well, I'm not afraid. I'm just going to not be afraid. No, you're going to get over the fence in a hurry, right? We're not talking about jumping off of a cliff saying, well, God will protect me because, you know, it says in Psalm 91, he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep you. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. No. The devil tried that one with Jesus, didn't he? And Jesus was pretty clear when he said that would be tempting God. Rather, we're talking this morning about being afraid, having fear from circumstances or situations that come up in our lives. 1 John 4 says that fear has torment. Having torment is not a blessing. Being in a snare is not a blessing. And today there is a lot of fear. People fear for their job, fear of getting into an accident, fear of an illness, fear of a recurring illness, fear of a lack of finances, fear of death. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Speaking of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in verse 14 of Hebrews 2, it says, for as much then as the children, human beings, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Remember after the crucifixion, it says in John 20 that the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Living with fear is a trap. It's a snare. It has torment. Fear is bondage, as we just read here in Hebrews. It keeps you from enjoying your life, and it greatly hinders you from believing the promises of God. Be not afraid, only believe. You know, regarding the spirit that God has given to each and every one of us, it says in Timothy that that spirit says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because see, fear happens in the mind. And there are times that we have to honestly ask ourselves, you know, just get real honest with ourselves and say, what am I afraid of? And when we recognize that we have fear, what do we want to do about it? Now, we read earlier, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears, right? God can deliver us from all our fears. And many, many times in the Bible, God's message to us is fear not, to not be afraid. And we're aware of that, right? This isn't something brand new. You know, the Bible talks about not being afraid. I'm sure that's not something new for you, right? But I learned something from Dave Berge's book. And what I learned was that in many places where God tells us to not be afraid, he tells us why. Take a look at Joshua. Well, we're going all over the place, aren't we? Joshua chapter 1. I'm sure you're familiar that Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years. And then Moses died and Joshua is the one to take over. How'd you like to fill Moses' shoes? How would you like to follow him? Well, that was what God called Joshua to do. In Joshua chapter 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now watch verse 9 here. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. Joshua, don't be afraid or dismayed. Why? I am with you wherever you go. You know, this is a great section to read. You know, God said, you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. I will be there. Like I was with Moses, I will be with you. But please note, when God said to not be afraid, neither be this dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Psalm 23, if you would, please. Psalm 23. And you know, sometimes this psalm, this psalm is read at a funeral, a memorial service. It's not really a psalm about death. It's a song about God's protection, God's help. But in verse Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. It says there in verse 4, though I walk through. That means you're coming out on the other side, right? Walking through it. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, God, are with me. I will fear no evil because I'm not alone. And not only that, it says his rod and staff comfort me. It's a great comfort to know that God will use his rod and staff if he needs to. The rod was a club that the shepherd used to defend, you know, knock some animal on the head if they're trying to get to the sheep. It was for protection. The staff was used, you know, we call it, it says staff, it's like a shepherd's crook, used for a number of different things, pull a sheep out of the mud if he needed to, pull a branch down. The shepherd uses the staff in many different ways. But it says, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that's some pretty scary stuff if you're in that situation. It's not a pleasant place to be, the valley of the shadow of death. If I am, I will fear no evil. Why? God is with me with his rod and staff. In Psalm 46, you want to get dramatic? All right, let's get really dramatic here. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Mountains falling into the sea? The earth removed? Even in the midst of that, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. He's not distant, far away. He is present. He told Joshua, I am with you. In Psalm 23, thou art with me. And here, once again, God is present. He is here with us. And what we're seeing here in God's word is not verses just saying, well, don't be afraid, fear not. You don't need to have any fear. Just suck it up and be brave. Be positive, why don't you? No, no. What we're reading here is, fear not. Why? Because God is with us. If you look at Isaiah 41, perhaps my favorite verses regarding God's help and not being afraid. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for I am the Lord your God. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Let's read this again. Verse 10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not. Why? I will help you. God repeatedly says to not be afraid because I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, if you would, chapter 4. Fear is very real. Happens to everybody. We're just supposed to live with our fears? God doesn't think so. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, there's one God and Father of all, who's above all, and through all, and in you all. Are we alone? No. In those times when you feel like you're alone, you have to remind yourself that you are not alone. God is in you. He is your God. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will take you by the right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. In Philippians chapter 2, familiar verse, I think. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Are we alone? No. And what is his good pleasure? To help us, to strengthen us, to be a very present help in time of trouble. That's his good pleasure, for us to be blessed. Back up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Well, does the Spirit dwell in you? Yes. Okay. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you," Christ in you is just another way of referring to the Spirit of God that is in us. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Boy, what a great verse that is regarding healing. When it comes to sickness, fear not. Why? If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. My goodness. Let's look at that record in Mark chapter 5 now. I mentioned it earlier. Mark chapter 5. And in Mark 5:22. "And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." It's important to note here, what did this man believe when he came to Jesus? This man believed that if Jesus came and laid his hands on his dying daughter, she would be healed. He asked if Jesus would please come and do that, and Jesus went with him. Okay, important to remember that. Verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, my goodness, that's a long time to suffer, isn't it? Had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, What? You see the multitude thronging you, and you're asking, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, your believing, your faith, your believing has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Your daughter's dead. Why troublest the master any further? Too late. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid. Why? Believe. Believe what? what you believed just a short time ago, that Jesus had the power to heal, and he was still heading to the house. Jesus didn't say, oh, gee, I'm so sorry to hear about that. No, he said, be not afraid, only believe. Stay put where you were, that Jesus Christ could heal him. You see, we have a choice too. Either allow circumstances to keep us in fear, the snare, the torment, the bondage. And then, of course, you know, with fear, there's always projection. Fear breeds negative projections because, you know, oh my gosh, if this happens, then you know what? Then that'll probably happen. Then if that happens, then, and it just snowballs. Fear breeds projections. We can either be afraid or we can believe what God has spoken to us in his word. Be not afraid, only believe. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. All right, everybody stay here. He didn't want any negative belief following him to the house there. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seized the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. Then he said, get out. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John. And he entered in where the damsel was lying. He took her by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Fear not, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. And I'd like to look at one more with you in Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. This is the record when Paul was on the ship and they ran into a disaster. No other way to put it. A typhoon, hurricane. It's a mess. There's no hope left. Acts 27. Let's look at verse 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Totally hopeless situation. You know, they had tried to lighten the ship. They're tossed all. They're in the middle of a typhoon or a hurricane. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now, verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Wait a minute. Be of good cheer? Why? Why? What? Is this some nutcase trying to be positive? Okay, everybody, it's hopeless, but why don't we all just be positive today, all right? Let's get the positive energy flowing, everybody, right? Because if you have positive thoughts, be of good cheer, everybody. How could Paul possibly say that? Verse 23. Here's why. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, God sent an angel to talk to me, and whom I serve. Verse 24, this is what the angel told Paul. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with you. Fear not, why? Because God has given you all them that sail with you. Nobody's going to die. That's why. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Period. many times in God's Word, when God says to not be afraid, to fear not, He tells us why. And so many of those times, it's because He's present with us. He will strengthen us. He will heal us. He will restore us. He comes with His rod and staff. He will protect us. He will take us by the right hand, saying, "Fear not, I will help you." When we have fear, we really need to focus on the fact that we are not alone. God is with us, and really, in reality, God is in us by way of His Spirit that's in us. And in difficult situations, that may take some effort. You know, it's not just saying, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Fear not. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. No, it's more than that. We put forth the effort to focus, to dwell, to put into our minds over and over that God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is with us. He's in us by way of His Spirit. And it's a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. We're not alone. We put our focus on what God has told us in His Word, that He is a very present help in time of need. He is our refuge and our strength. He is there with His rod and staff. He restores my soul. He will quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that is in us. If God be for us and God be in us, who or what can be against us? I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And whether we're going through a season of walking through the shadow of the valley of death, or the earth is being removed, or mountains are tumbling into the sea, fear not. Why? For He is with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For He is your God. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. For the Lord your God will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not. Why? Because He will help you. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our great, wonderful Heavenly Father, how encouraging Your Word truly is. Especially, Father, in the category of when we get afraid. Thank You, Father, for revealing to us in Your Word that in those times we can remember that You are truly with us and You are in us. And that, Father, we can be not only comforted, but we can, like You told Joshua, we can be strong and very courageous and refuse to be afraid, because You are our God and You will take care of us. Thank You for Your many blessings on our lives, the things that You have done for us in the past. We're so grateful for those. And Father, we continue to look to You for our help, for our prosperity, for our healing. We pray this morning for our president and the first lady, for great healing. And we pray for all those who are sick and ill from this plague, and ask You, Father, to continue to help those who are working very hard at the therapeutics and the things that can really help people. Thank You, Father, for the great reality that one day Jesus Christ will come back, and when that day happens, there'll be no more fear, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more crying. But until that day comes, Father, how great it is to know that we are not helpless people and we are not alone, because You are with us. So, Father, I thank You for these things this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks again for being here this morning. This teaching will be posted on the blog a little later today. And we're going to be back here again next Sunday, unless God sends His Son for us. So until either happens, keep praying much for our president, for our country. Keep loving people. Keep looking for open doors to share the good news with people. Have a very blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you.